Welcome to Sexology, a podcast that untangles the science of sex and pleasure. And now, with this week's episode, your host, clinical psychologist, Dr. Nazanin Moali.
Hello there. Welcome to episode 403 of the Sexology podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nazanin Moali, and today we're going to talk about kink. I know there's so many kinky people in our audience. I see you. I get your questions. And I wanted to have an episode so I can have an expert talking about their own experiences and kind of pivotal moment in their stories, because I know many of you guys enjoy hearing other people's stories. Today, as I said, we're going to talk about kink. We're going to talk about what are some of the challenges people face when it comes to embracing their kinky desires. And we're going to talk about how to embrace it, but also be able to talk about it with your partner. Our guest today is Jean France Blau. She's an intimacy coordinator for TV and film. She helps actors perform sexy scenes with respect and care. This year, she made a decision to disclose her private backstory. She's the writer and performer of My Mother Doesn't Know I'm Kinky. It's an award-winning solo play, which is now on tour. Passionate to share what she has learned, she created the Sexual Bucket List online class. Jean is featured in Rolling Stone as a guest expert on keeping up with the Kardashians. As I mentioned, we're talking about kink, and Jean will share some of her advice on how people can explore their kinky side. And she's going to give us some resources, communities, and kind of places that you can find more information about this. But before we dive into this episode, just wanted to give a shout out to our sponsor, FirmTech, where health meets pleasure, tracks sexual performance and nocturnal erection for vital data on your cardiovascular and sexual health. Understand the effects of medication and lifestyle. FirmTech has reinvented the cock ring, making it more comfortable and easy to get on and off with its patent hook and loop design. One of the pet peeves I have about cock rings before I was introduced to FirmTech is just how uncomfortable it is. I used to get samples of different products for kind of like potentially them being sponsors. And when I was like asking my husband to try it, he said, I hate it. It's just so uncomfortable. But FirmTech is really easy to use. It's sexy, has an elegant design, and it is created by a physician. The tech ring uses a Bluetooth app like other wearable. It's remarkably comfortable and soft and adjustable, so you can wear it for hours. The tech ring is the world's first underwearable. So if you are curious about it, please head over to myfirmtech.com, put the code sexology to get 10% off. Again, the website is myfirmtech.com. The code is sexology, and you find all of this information in the show notes. All right, let's dive into today's episode about kink. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Sexology Podcast. It's my honor to invite Jean France Blau to our show today. Jean, welcome to our show.
It is such an honor to be here. Thank you so much for what you do for the world in talking about topics that sometimes people can't talk about, and you talk about them and you invite people to talk about them. So I'm grateful to be here.
Oh, thank you. I have the mutual admiration for your work. When our mutual friend introduced us, my assistant reached out to me. It's like, oh my God, I love her signature. It's so cool. So do you want to talk about what's your signature?
Do you mean like what I do or my show? Is that what you're is that so what she was talking about?
She said
about?
Like my mom doesn't know about
Yes. Yes. So I have a solo play that I wrote and perform called My Mother Doesn't Know I'm Kinky. It's a sexy story filled with drama and comedy, love and lust. And it answers the question, how does a mother react to the fact that her very good daughter is into BDSM?
And it talks about such an important topic, right? That sometimes people have different sexual interests, people that you know, and it doesn't say anything about them. And I guess we have to wait to see your show before seeing what does your mother think. But tell us about kink. What does kink mean to you?
For me, kink and what is kinky will depend on the person and where they grew up in the world. And so I like to think of it as where are my desires and pleasures, and how might they be different than what I'm seeing in the media or what I'm seeing as socially acceptable within my culture. So that means it's going to be different for different people in the same neighborhood and certainly in the different country. And certainly maybe in the birth order in the family, certainly relating to gender, there are so many different factors into what one person would call kinky and the other one would call, oh, that's just life. So I describe it, or when I think of it myself, I was noticing that what I was into was not what I was seeing growing up, you know, on the billboards or in the media, in books, on TV and films. And so therefore, I would consider it different or taboo or kinky.
That you brought up such a great point, that when people think about quote unquote what's normal, it's first of all, it's shifting and it's different based on different region. Sometimes I have people in my office that are older generations say, oh, we're really kinky. I like oral sex. I wanted to say,
right?
This Wait is something now, it's part of the kind of vanilla experience. Tell me, what do you think?
It's considered on the menu. And yet for them, they feel titillated and excited that they're doing this weird thing that nobody would understand, that they like to put mouths on genitals. And for us, we're like, that's not kinky. That's just, yeah, on the menu. So I really like to open it up that let's consider the word kinky as something to feel deliciously naughty about. But how about take it out of the shadows and in terms of it being something to be ashamed of? And this is sexual shame is something that I know we're going to explore today as we continue our conversation.
And when you were talking about representation in media, I was going through the mainstream movies that I've seen that portray kinky behaviors and like in kind of like show those scenes. And oftentimes it's misrepresented. And I know that you're an intimacy coordinator as well. What are some of the kind of more popular shows in the past that you think they didn't do justice when it came to portrayal of kink? Is there anything comes to your mind?
I just re-reviewed a movie that was such a big part of the beginnings of my journey. This movie's been out there for a while, but it so deserves some conversation because it's amazing in some ways and unfortunately dated in others, or maybe fortunately. And that movie is called Secretary.
I was just thinking about Secretary. Yes. You read my mind.
The reason that many kinksters, that could be a fun something to call yourself, a kinkster, love the movie is because what does really well is show that there's a co-nurturing happening with the person at the top, meaning the person who is in power, and the person who's a bottom, or the person who chooses to be submissive. That what we hadn't seen before, I don't think in any media, is that how much love there was and how much kindness and compassion there was in it. And that was beautiful. What did not work when I saw it again, it was cringy, is lack of consent. There was a spanking scene in that movie without any discussion about this is what I want. Is that something you want? Here's what I would like it to be like. What do you like? What are your limits? None of that happened. Now, because it's a fantasy story, then I will say when I first watched it, I was beyond riveted. I was extremely aroused watching it. The second time around, I knew it was coming. I was so looking forward to the scene. And I was like, oh, I know more now. And I know that the spanks, for example, were really hard. And many people would not be able to tolerate the kind of like what they were demonstrating was happening in terms of discomfort. And the idea that there was this extremely hard experience, you know, physical experience with no consent, is absolutely not how we do in the consensual kink space.
And it portrays how important it is, I guess, to highlight and underline this, and how important it is for people to be in a right age to watch it or have like information about consent, all of this. Because I was thinking about my experience with Secretary. I watched it young teen years. Like, so
what did that do for like, you?
I was like, you know, I felt lots of, so I'm coming from a patriarchal society. I grew up in Iran. I was watching it in Iran. My mom is like really, she's an artist and she loves the artsy movie. And we had zero supervision at home.
Are you telling me that you, wait. Are you saying that you watched this alongside your mom?
No, I didn't watch it. So in our house, it was no supervision. So I put it on the VHS for our younger listeners that they don't know what's VHS. I put it in and I watched it. And what was interesting, I experienced arousal, but I also was very disturbed about the submissive role, right? Because I didn't know there is something that people can enjoy, truly enjoy. I felt she was manipulated.
She was being abused. Now, this is the very point that I think your earlier question brings forward is about it being seen in the media without context. And in your case, your younger mind didn't have context that would be needed. The visuals of BDSM look like abuse. If with a more mature mind, as that movie progresses, at the end, she began to tell him and take control and carve out. And she was the one in a good way, the power. She was, I'll say it this way. She was bringing the leadership. She says, this is what I want for us. And he goes, it cannot be. And she says, why? And when he says it cannot be, he's saying, this is too shameful. What I like is shameful. You are part of my shameful world that I want to escape from, but I need you. And now I feel trapped because what I want and what I need shouldn't exist. I shouldn't exist. I hate myself. The character, the top character played by James Spader, was describing self-loathing. And she had a full heart of love and said, if we are both, she didn't say it in this dialogue, but if we both consent, if we both like this, why can't we create this for ourselves in the privacy of our home? And then the next scenes are full of a great amount of love and romance. I found it swoon-worthy, even in the viewing I just had. I was like, oh, this just works for me because there was so much beauty and tenderness. Yeah.
I love what you describe. And I think the context is important. And again, age of viewing is important as well. I definitely want to go watch it again. But I remember that I was like, confused. Why am I aroused with this? This is something so wrong. And not knowing about human sexuality so young, I felt unbroken, right? Like, oh my God, what's wrong with me that I'm getting turned on with humiliation of this poor woman?
Oh, I see what you're saying. So I want to offer a reframe of it for your younger self is that in a sex negative culture where we're not allowed to express and simply be who we are, as so many of us identify as being sexual people. It's just how our bodies are working. We like to eat to survive and drink water because we need it. We need shelter. And our bodies generate sexual need. Biologically, this is who, you know, this is what we've got. But when the culture says what you've got and who you are should not exist, there is a huge problem. So for me, the reason why, you know, part of my kink, and it's very rare and it's with very safe and trusted partners, but part of my kink is expressing a submissive side, is taking instruction and stuff like that, being that one who obeys very specific scenarios. The reason that is beautiful is because somebody from authority is telling me and is permitting me to be sexual. And that, I believe, is something that brings the kink forward for many people or brings the arousal, is that she has no choice. For example, and then my arousal could just be present finally, and I could just be fully myself.
Yeah, it's such a gift to be able to embody your sexuality. Kind of, this is who I am. And it gives you this feeling of being seen, right? So because when people are engaged, like the kind of like routine sexual experience that they have, sometimes we're checked out. Like, oh, like here comes the kissing, penetration, and we're in another world. But with power exchange, what I found that people are in the zone. They're very in tune with each other. I know that it seems like that's something that you experience as well. So tell us more about that.
Yeah. So as you spoke, I felt chills coming on my legs and my arms as you spoke about what I would call presence. And that was like a seminal moment for me that I remember really well with a partner when I was still new to it. He asked me to kneel on a pillow and he had a wood floor and he was going to go to the other room and he said, don't move. And so I had one simple job. It's so wonderful in a busy, busy life with my very alpha woman lifestyle to just be told to kneel and wait. Life became very simple. And there was a pillow there, like I was a cherished pet. I wasn't kneeling on a hard floor. There was a pillow just for me. So there was something very pet-like about it that I was cherished. And what I recall is he was in the other room. There was a beam of light, and in that light were dust particles. And you might think, oh, the place was dusty, but it just looked like snow, or I was so present to the moment that when I'm going about my day-to-day world, if I see dust, I'm like, move that away, I'm doing something. But I just was so present. And there were these multiple moments when I was alone in that room in full and complete presence. And I feel almost emotional talking about it. This is really helping me. I'm about to perform my show in 10 days. And this is a moment I speak about. So the emotions are very alive for me right now. What a gift that somehow the structure of consensual kink, what some kinksters call the scene, where there's a beginning, middle, and end. We make an agreement about what we're going to do there. And if there's any problems, we have a safe word. It's all very structured. But within that structure is a great amount of focus and presence, because we aren't doing that thing you were describing. Step A, kiss. Step B, undress. Step 3, insert this slot into the, insert tab A into slot B. Then there will be an orgasm. Then we will be done. Instead, I don't know what's going to happen. And that riveted presence and curiosity and maybe a little fear and excitement, but the kind of good fear where it's like, yeah, I'm excited, but I know I'm safe, for me at least. This really worked for me during that time of my life and was very healing. That was confusing to me, just as you perhaps, as I'll use my language for it, as a very budding or young feminist, it can be confusing why I'm finding this so enjoyable. But there was so much sexual healing for me in the permission. There was so much arousal for me in surrendering all control, because I think I use all of my controlling abilities, mental control, physical control, to just keep my sexuality down as the culture dictates, as a culture demands. And so when that is taken away, all of a sudden I'm my full me. And there was healing there for me, a lot of it, a release of energy, a release of arousal. It felt like sexual healing and maybe human healing.
Okay, let's be real. Who wouldn't want better sex? I mean, like, who wouldn't want to start having better sex right now? The easiest way to get started, just head over to adamandeve.com. They're seriously the best trusted name in adult products. And they're offering an amazing deal just for you. You can get 50% off almost any item when you're using my code SEXOLOGY, SEXOLOGY. And that's not even the best part. You'll also get free discreet shipping and rush processing. Like, they're not messing around. Your package will get there fast and nobody will know what's inside. Whether you're looking for a fun new toy or something else to get things spicy in the bedroom, Adam and Eve's got your back, and it's all just a few clicks away. So go to adamandeve.com, pick something exciting, and use code SEXOLOGY at checkout for 50% off and free shipping with rush processing. Don't miss out. Better sex is literally just a click away. I love that. And thank you for sharing that part of your story with us. And it can be, I've seen firsthand that it can be very healing for people. They at times talk about people thinking it's traumatic. And as we talked about, if it's like not negotiated, it's not something that's been discussed, it could be traumatic for some people. If something that like you're doing non-consent, then like if you feel like you'd lost control. But for many people, even with a history of trauma, it can be healing, like being in that place. And there is something really about being really cared for when you are in a submissive position that can, I think, enhance the relationship instead of harming it if it's been done thoughtfully. So I bet that like when you do the show, people talk about their experiences with you and you are in this space. How do you often hear people discover the kinkster side?
Oh, I have gone on my own personal inquiry on that very question. I ask partners, when did you know you were different? When did you know that your interests might be different than what you were seeing out there? And almost in every case, I can't remember a case where it wasn't true, that these interests came very early in childhood. And I just want everyone to take a moment to consider that if that's true for you, then it's innocent. Can we like hold on to that for a moment? That if something was with me since I was so young, there's nothing you did wrong here. It's innocent. And I think it should really be approached from that very thing. In one case, a partner was a child and playing on the kitchen floor. And he looked over and became riveted by his mother's shoes and happens to be really into feet in his future adult life. Okay. In another case, this partner, when he was in elementary school, he claimed a fellow student as his own. He wrote the letters M-I-N-E, mine, on her knuckles with pen. And the adults were not liking what they were seeing in that. But that's a really young memory of the desire for him, but also the shaming for him. For me, I wonder if you or your listeners would call this a kink, because it's not necessarily power play. It's not. There's so many different categories of it. But if we use my definition, which is different than the norm, than what I see in the media, I discovered something was unique at 14. I was watching at school. There were wrestling matches. Competitive wrestling is something that the teenage boys were doing. And I once saw a wrestling match and found myself getting really aroused. And as soon as I realized it, I felt incredibly exposed because I'm like, can people tell what I'm thinking? And clearly what came along with that fear, can people tell what I'm thinking, is do people know this about me? This should not be. So what was the kink? I will tell you, it continues to this day. I absolutely love watching men together. It's my love language is watching men kiss. But my 14-year-old self, and this is in 1984 or 85, knew this cannot be shared. This must be shut down. So the sexual shame was right there, right alongside with the budding sexual interest or arousal. And that is a cultural ill. It's not right for us to have to shut down parts of ourselves and be ashamed. That does not create happy people or happy adults. I believe it creates self-loathing. I think it creates non-consensual experiences and violence in our world. That's why I'm so grateful you do what you do and you allow me to have this amplifier here in our conversation so that somebody out there might know that they're not wrong. They're not bad.
I wanted to highlight everything you said. They're just so important, right? Because I think at the heart of many people's sexual health issues is that this feeling of shame, feeling that I'm into something that's wrong, therefore I'm wrong. And these messages get amplified in society. And even when your people are intimate partnership, due to the shame, they're not able to share those delicious part of themselves with the lover, with the partner. So what is your invitation for our listeners about what can we do with this part of ourselves and how can we talk about it in safe relationships?
Yeah, so that phrase safe relationships is an important one because there are partnerships, people who are married and in deep and long relationships and where certain aspects are working, but their partner that they feel their partner wouldn't understand or accept this part of them. And so there's silence there. So it can be disruptive, truly, to talk about this stuff. And there are some people out there who are like, I will never bring this up to my partner. It would be the end of our relationship, or they would no longer respect me as, you know, in the relationship, or they would leave me or something. So that exists. And so what I'm about to share will be a tool that's useful for some, but not everyone. And that's called a yes, no, maybe list. And in the show notes, there'll be a link to it, several of them, so you can pick your favorite. And this is a way for people to print out a list or look at it on the screen and ask each other in a conversation, as it's a list of curiosities and interests relating to sexuality. Is this thing right here something you would do? Yes? No, absolutely not. Or I would need more information. This one's a maybe. It would depend on the context or the moment. To have a conversation, that means that if you're looking at a list, it's not your fault. It's a list. Somebody else made it. So that's, you know, but going down it provides two people to really consider things that are outside of their day-to-day box of activity. And I think it's a great tool. Now, bringing up the question, you can bring it up as a game. You can bring it up and have your partner listen to this podcast and say, what do you think about what, you know, they were talking about? And it can be an intellectual conversation based on this podcast as a tool. But how wonderful that there are so many sex educators out there, people out there who care deeply about your sexual well-being, who've put together tools like this to help in ways that we can help. So that's certainly one way.
And I like that when you talked about being sexually happy and leaning into things that you like consensually can be healing. As I said, like I grew up in a very repressed communities, and I saw people having such a complex relationship with their own sexuality. And if you think that I'm into this and I'm wrong and this is dirty, and then you think all things sexual is bad and dirty, and
yes,
you might not cherish that part of the relationship or cherish that part of yourself. And that can cause loss of complication in the relationship.
Absolutely.
For our listeners that they want to bring it up with the partner, maybe they are now interested, they downloaded Yes, No, Maybe list, and they said, okay, this is something we're into. So maybe we're starting with this mini step, and then we want to learn more about these things. Because I know many of the kinky behaviors are things that most people with good communication can do. And some of this stuff, it requires education, working with a sex educator, asking questions. So what are some of the resources, communities, or practice that you recommend people practice to kind of like keep in mind as they're going on these journeys?
There's a book that I actually have right here. Let's see. This one is called The Art of Receiving and Giving.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
By Dr. Betty Martin.
Oh, I love Betty. Yeah.
So Betty created this concept called the Wheel of Consent and kindly allowed these resources to be on YouTube and free to the public for those who have access to it. And watching that, those instructional videos will open up so many vistas. I find that the learnings in the Wheel of Consent were very profound for me. And many people who learn it go back again and again, because as they grow as people, the learnings are so rich. There's more to learn as you return back to the content. But one of the biggest concepts in the Wheel of Consent that I would want to share with your listeners is this phrase, who is it for? So if my partner is touching my face, I would love to know, are they doing that because they think I like it and I like my face caressed, or are they doing it because they love touching the skin of my face and the texture of the skin? And the answer to that will be really instructive, because the misunderstandings that happen in sexual activity are happening all over the time because of the many cultural problems that have us thinking I need to be service of the other and I should be this and I should be that. Oh my gosh. I might find out that my partner is touching my face because they think I like it. And I actually feel self-conscious when somebody touches my face, let's just say. Now,
We are both engaging in activity we both really don't like. Or at least one is thinks they're being of service and is wondering why the other one isn't expressing pleasure or isn't having fun. It's because they have just had a miscommunication. And so learning that piece, and I do this with my partners now. Is this for you? I'll say in the midst of an activity. Who is this for? It's for you. Who is this for? I'm taking right now. That's another phrase in it. I'm taking, which means I'm for my own pleasure. I'm doing this moment for me. It's so cool. And one thing I just feel like adding as sort of an extra cherry on top of the cake is the visual stuff. As a woman, as I go about the world, sometimes I'm looked at in ways that make me feel uncomfortable. I'm being sexualized in public in a way that I feel uncomfortable. And there are sometimes in the safe interactions with a partner where I'm absolutely happy to be looked at for his pleasure. My partners have begun to ask me. So I might be turned around and my partner's looking at my booty and he would say, may I take, and he doesn't mean, may I touch you? May I look at your butt for my pleasure? And that just opens my heart. Oh my goodness. Yes. And then I feel like I gave consent for that rather than it was taken from me without my consent. And it just makes the world, oh, I can just relax and enjoy that experience ever more. So I hope those are helpful tools.
Those are fantastic. I assign the will of consent kind of exercises to all my clients, whether they're kinky or not, because it's really important to learn the language of touch for yourself and for the partner. What I often see people are struggling with the taker's touch, especially women, they don't know the touch that gives them pleasure. They are yes. wired that I'm doing this for you. This is what sexual script is.
Yep.
But I don't know what kind of touches gives me pleasure as a giver.
So true. Each of the quadrants in the Wheel of Consent chart has its own joys and its own shadow or challenges. And so you picked mine as well. My first thought is like, I don't want to touch you. Like, that would be for you, you know, but once I had to go, no, Gene, how would you touch? And I'm like, but what I'm doing is weird. That the first thing that came through was I'm being a weirdo. Isn't that interesting? In relation to if I want to touch my partner's arm or belly my way, I would just like, am I being a creep? It's the first thought that comes to mind. I feel like I'm being a creep. Whoa, where'd that come from? Right. Yeah, I care a lot about these subjects, even created a class which helps me, but also others to explore this stuff. So I'm into it.
That's amazing. And I think such a helpful concept. I think the name can be, for me at least, was like off-putting, a will of consent. Here we come again.
Versus and like another model.
Right.
For those people who are always with their nose in the books, oh, another model. It's an intellectual thing.
Right. But when you lean into the exercise, as you mentioned, you learn so much about yourself, about communication, even with the visual that you mentioned. I know many women feel that like the world is constantly taking from them the part of themselves. Like when people get cat-talked or people are kind of like grabbing you and you automatically, I talk about myself, you have a shield. Like if my partner out of blue grabs me, my husband, I love him. But I was like, oh, wow, another person that comes grab something else out of me. Because of that's like the traumas we have in our bodies. But like
that's
when
right.
you're asking for permission, it just makes it sexier and delicious. And it helps me to create room and lean into the moment.
That's so lovely. And I appreciate how you share this tidbit from your own life. You don't have to do that as a podcaster, right? But it's so vulnerable to share this little glimpse into your own stuff. I have asked partners, like there is a thing that some people like to do with penises is when they feel really safe. I'll just speak for me. If I'm bending over, they'll be like, oh, let me grab that. Like, it's just funny, right? Not to me. No, don't do that. Don't grab. I'm not in a sexual space right now. And so that out of context touch is not wanted. And similarly, in a sexual space, people I love will ask, may I undress? Can I take this off? And that is because I've sometimes I feel a fear would come up for me, not because I don't really trust them, but old stories, old things, bad memories, right? And oh, my body would just be like, oh, I thought it was, I could go from aroused to not aroused in a snap, as you were sharing towards the beginning, like, oh, sometimes we just disappear or dissociate, or we just leave the room, but our bodies are still doing it. I think it's because there are so many, it's fraught. It's a fraught territory. In the culture, sometimes it's, oh, it's supposed to be fun. We're supposed to be sex and this and that and the other. But it's actually fraught. It is requires so much vigilance, like in every moment. Okay, I'm aroused. Oh, it went away. Do I fess up that my arousal just slipped right away? Or do I just keep performing or keep acting the same way and not know what's going on? Which some people be like, oh, that breaks the flow. My partners want that. My partners want to know when I left, why I left, so that we can come back together. And that creates something. I've coined a phrase. I never heard it before, but I call it slow healing kink, which is to slow everything down. And then instead of pretending that sex is only just a smiley, fun, pleasurable thing, to create space for feeling and to create space for tears and to create space for stopping and doing other stuff, because now sex is off the table for a moment. And then all of a sudden it flows back into it. It takes so much awareness and presence. And that is what I need to feel better in this world with my sexuality, slowing everything down.
Well, Jean, I cannot get enough of all of the stories, the way you look at things. So I bet that our listeners are very interested to learn more about you, about your performance. So if they want to get in contact with you, what are some of the places they can access you?
I got this great website. I'm so proud that I got it. It's mymotherdoesn'tknow.com. So if you go to mymotherdoesn'tknow.com, you'll find out where am I on tour. And you'll also see a store. And in that store is a t-shirt that says My Mother Doesn't Know, but also the class I was talking about earlier. It's called the Sexual Bucket List Class. It's an online class that I've made with a lot of love to lessen shame around sexual interest and to provide a personal and private at-home experience that's self-paced, where a person can walk through exercises I created with my voice leading it along. And so that's definitely a place, and certainly on Instagram, for those who do Instagram, at my name, Jean Fransblau.
Well, Jean, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for increasing awareness about these taboo topics. And hopefully we'll have you back on our show in future.
It was such a gift. It's wonderful to be with you today.
Thank you so much for tuning in. It's interesting that how people gather more information about kink and they're more comfortable about their kinky side. So if you have an interesting story about how you discovered your kinky part that you want me to share it with other people, you can record your audio at sexologypodcast.com. And I can share it with other listeners. Before we close the episode, I want to say a thank you to our sponsor, FirmTech. As I mentioned, I love their cock ring. It's designed by a legit physician. It's comfortable to wear. You can use the one that gathers data, or you can use the one that just helps you to remain hard. And also, it can intensify your ejaculation. This is something I learned from one of my own clients who purchased the product. So if you are curious about it, go to myfirmtech.com, enter the code sexology, and you'll get 10% off. Again, the code is sexology, and you can find the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to our episode. Thank you for supporting this show. I appreciate it. If you find the material useful, leave us an honest review in Apple Podcasts. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sexology Podcast. For more great content, visit www.sexologypodcast.com. Please be advised that information presented on this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health provider.